Hello and welcome to the KC at the Movies podcast. The official first, even though the list, well, you know, the list one was still the first podcast that was released in 2026. This is the official first podcast of 2026, talking about a 2026 film. But also we'll be talking about, as mentioned up top, the nominations that came out this morning. As well as getting to what I've been watching later on in the podcast. But how you doing? Hope you're having a great week. Hope you're treating yourself well. I've been trying to do that. but some of it is still some baby steps, you know. We're keeping on keeping on, you know. Let's start with these bloody nominations, eh? These Oscar 2026 nominations. It all transpired this morning. They were announced by, I believe, was it fucking... Who was it? Brother, who was it? That's the wrong list again. They were announced by Danielle Brooks and Louis Pullman. Louis Pullman, great performance in Thunderbolts from last year. But also just a really great... I'm keen to see what else he does after that. Keen to keep an eye on him. I am keen to keep an eye on him. Okay. So it all went down this morning. There are, as always, there are some surprises. There are some snubs. There is one huge snub, like ridiculously huge snub, that I will be talking about, that a lot of people are talking about already, but I am quite pissed about, to tell you the truth. We'll get to that in a bit. But Sinners, first of all, 16 nominations, breaking the world record for most nominations. It's nominated in 16 categories. And personally, I think that's a really cool thing. I really like Sinners. It was in my top 10 of last year. Sorry to spoil that other podcast, but it was in my top 10 of last year. It wasn't like number one or anything, but I still think that's a great film. I think that's Ryan Coogler's best film he's done so far. And yeah, one of the better films from last year. It does deserve all six nominations, in my opinion. I think it's going to be a good night for Sinners. I've just got a good feeling about that. It's going to be a good night for Sinners. But the other thing that people are talking about with these nominations, people are talking about already with these nominations, is the complete omission, of No Other Choice from Park Chan-wook, which was, as you guys would have, if you listened to the podcast, know that No Other Choice was my other number one film of last year. And I just, once again, it's happened again, like Decision to Leave. The Academy just doesn't really want to dominate or want to talk about or want to recognize the masterful work that Park Chan-wook does with his films. And I really thought with No Other Choice, that it would get something at least. We'll get into that when we talk about the nominations in just a second. But Conan is hosting again this year, so I'm pretty excited about that. I think the awards are on March 15th, I believe, or 16th here in Australia. Am I going to be missing them again this year because of work? Probably. But I'll get to it when I get to it. The nominations this morning, I actually completely missed because, speaking of like self-improvement and self-care, I was at the gym, and for the first time ever, I completely missed the nominations announcement. So, like, I went to the gym, came back, was tired after that, so I just went back to sleep. And this morning, I went through everything and with my notebook and everything that I did on the stream and saw how I did with my picks and predictions. Some I'm, like, obviously, like some people, are completely surprised about ones making it in. Others... I did pretty well with. So let's just get into it. Best casting. Now, this one I didn't do. So I'm not going to go through my picks for it, but I will go through what they are. So best casting was Hamnet, Mighty Supreme, One Battle After Another, Sinners, and The Secret Agent. I personally, based on the current kind of chatter about everything, I personally think this is going to go to Marty Supreme. But Sinners also has a really big shot at this one, because casting, by the way, is the new category at the Academy Awards. That was the one that they talked about 2 years ago, and they finally added it to the 2026 ceremony. I think it's an award that's been missing for a long time. I think casting is a very important aspect of making a film, getting a film together. Next, I really hope they add stunts next. As is, stunts is another one that people have been asking for, myself included. That is a really important part of the film industry. And heck, they did a fucking tribute to stunts last year at last year's ceremony, but didn't even fucking talk about it. Didn't nominate it. But instead, let's do casting instead. Like, again, I said casting is important, but that was just crazy to do a tribute to stunts and then not open a new award for stunts. Or announce a new category, rather, for stunts. So, still kind of peeved that stunts is not there as a category. But anyway, hopefully they will wake up to themselves and add it soon. So, yeah, that's your casting. Hamnet, Marty Supreme, One Battle After Another, Sinners, and The Secret Agent. Best Documentary Short, which I also didn't do, but we've got All the Empty Rooms, Armed Only with a Camera, The Life and Death of Brent Renard. Or Renault, or how you say that. Children No More, Were and Are Gone, The Devil Is Busy, Perfectly Estrangeness. And then Best Animated Short is Butterfly, Forever Green, Retirement Plan, The Girl Who Cried Pearls, and The Three Sisters. Best Live Action Short, A Friend of Dorothy, Butcher's Stain, Jane Austen's Period Drama, The Singers, and Two People Exchanging Saliva. Which is a very interesting title, and I think I'll have to check that out. It's a very interesting, already got me interested, you know, with the title. So I do like a good title. But this, here's the ones I did put down. We're starting off with Best VFX here. And you can just, if you can hear the pages. Now, I went pretty shocking with this one, but I did get Avatar Fire and Ash, because that's just going to be the one that wins anyway. I also put F1 did get nominated. And then I put Frankenstein, but then Frankenstein did not get nominated. So I only got F1, Avatar, Fire and Ash, because I put the other two Marvel films, Fantastic Four and Thunderbolts. And then I was thinking about putting Superman, but then Superman didn't even get nominated anyway. Which is kind of strange, because I thought Superman had way better visual effects than Thunderbolts and Fantastic Four. But yeah, I just didn't think about it. But like, I knew the winner was going to be Avatar Fire and Ash, because it always is. So yeah, that's already there. That's a lock. that's the lock of the week right there, is Avatar Fire and Ash. But then we've also got Jurassic World Rebirth, Sinners. Again, one of those 16 categories is visual effects, and Sinners came in with that nomination there. And then, surprisingly, a movie that I liked from last year that nobody, I don't think anybody really watched, that I really liked, is The Lost Bus, with Matthew McConaughey, about the campfire, I think the campfire fires in Los Angeles in 2018. True story, Paul Greengrass directed film. And yeah, I'm really cool. It's cool to see that there, because the fire was fucking, yeah, that was a lot of fire. The fire looked good in that movie. Yeah, if you haven't checked out The Lost Bus, it's on Apple. It's an Apple film. So if you have Apple TV Plus or anything like that, check it out. It's Paul Greengrass. It's like the guy who directed the Bourne Supremacy and the Bourne Ultimatum. If you like that kind of action, you know, that kind of like, not shaky cam, but I like the way that Greengrass, he directs his action. Is like, it's kind of the shaky cam, but it's not. It's like, it's almost like controlled shaky cam, and it really revs up the action, and I really like it. He also directed Captain Phillips, by the way, if you like that movie, with Tom Hanks. Moving on to cinematography, which I think I did. I had F1 here, but no, they're just going to give that Top Gun Maverick that one, and then not give Kaczynski that other one for F1. But I did have Frankenstein. I had that there. I had Hamnet, but that wasn't there. Marty Supreme, One Battle After Another, And then I didn't think about Sinners and Chain Dreams. I don't know why I didn't think about Sinners, like, because it's fucking shot in IMAX. So I don't know why I didn't think about Sinners, but that should have been there. You know, that was shot on film as well. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't think about that, but that's there. It's cool to see. Train Dreams I haven't seen yet. Didn't even think about it because I hadn't really seen it. So Train Dreams, there you go. Frankenstein, Mighty Supreme, One Battle Lasts for Another, Sinners, and Train Dreams there for cinematography. Moving on to film editing, which I did not do, but I'll go through them. F1, Mighty Supreme, One Battle After Another, Sentimental Value, Sinners. Those are those. I personally going to go for One Battle After Another with that one. But, you know, that could go either way there. That could go either way. Sound I also didn't do, but I really like the nominations here. Frankenstein, F1, One Battle After Another, Sinners, and Surratt. I haven't seen Surratt yet. Really, really keen to see Surratt. I don't know if it's played here or is going to play here in Australia or it's playing on any streaming services. I mean, I'd love to see it in the cinema, but hopefully it does get like a replay because of the Oscar. Normally our cinemas around here, they do like a re-release of like all the Oscar films and everything that's nominated. So, what they can get, you know. So I'm hoping like my indie cinema tower gets Surratt and I can watch it there. But I love the sound of F1. It's great. It's if sound still had the both categories of editing and mixing, which it fucking should. We've talked about this like every year this has happened, that sound should have editing and mixing here. I just won't get over the split now. The consolidation of both of them together, because they're two very different things. They're very different aspects of film. Like, yes, they're similar, but editing and mixing are not the same thing. That still has like got me like kind of pissed. So best sound, like, you know, I just, you know, you have to say that with a bit of just snark, I guess. For F1 has great sound. One Battle Lasts for Another has great sound too. Sinners has really good sound too. I really like the sound in Sinners. Surratt, which I have not seen, so I do want to check that out. And I haven't seen Frankenstein yet, which we've been talking about Frankenstein so far. Still haven't seen Frankenstein yet, so I do want to watch that because I'm a big fan of Guillermo del Toro. I've also heard really good things about the performances in that film as well. Production design, I mean, Frankenstein, of course, it's a Guillermo del Toro film. Hamnet, Mighty Supreme, One Battle After Another, and Sinners. I do see this going to Frankenstein, but this could go to Mighty Supreme as well. There's some chatter about Mighty Supreme, so this could go to Mighty Supreme as well. Best makeup and hairstyling, Frankenstein, Kokuho is a Japanese film, which I've just learned about this morning. Sinners, The Smashing Machine, and then, surprisingly, The Ugly Stepsister, which was a horror film from last year, which I really wanted to check out. I do really want to watch The Ugly Stepsister, and I've heard it's got really great makeup, especially with her foot her face, I think, as well. But that's all I've heard. I really spoiled myself on that one. I haven't really heard much about it, but keen to check it out. It's on the list here, so I'll definitely give that a watch before the Oscars come around. The Smashing Machine, it's fine. Like, The Rock does look good. The makeup does look good. I'm not mad that it's here, but it could have went to something else, in my opinion. But then Sinners is here with that great vampire makeup they had. I'm happy to see Sinners here. It could go to Frankenstein. Jacob Elordi was like, you know, fucking in makeup head to toe. So I could see it going to Sinners. Frankenstein, my bad. And then there was nothing in here, and we'll get into this. There's nothing here for Wicked for Good. Nothing. Not even makeup and hairstyling, and we'll get into music, but it's not even fucking nominated in music either. So, no Wicked for Good here. Costume design, again, no Wicked for Good, but Avatar, Fire and Ash, Frankenstein, Hamnet, Mighty Supreme, and Sinners. Now, again, this could go to Frankenstein here. This could also go to Hamnet. This could also go to Mighty Supreme. Sinners, even. It's tough to say what will be picked. And I'll do, like, my proper predictions, like, later on, right before the Oscars come around. For right now, It's hard to say. It is hard to say. So I think I'll reserve my picks and predictions, like my real solidified, cemented picks and predictions until the Oscars come around, like maybe the 2 weeks before or something like that. Right after we have like all the, you know, all the other award shows, like the SAGs, the DGAs, the WGAs, like everything like that. All the precursors leading up to the Oscars. Best documentary feature, Come See Me in the Good Light, Cutting Through the Rocks, Mr. Nobody Against Putin, The Alabama Solution, and The Perfect Neighbor. I have only seen The Perfect Neighbor. I loved The Perfect Neighbor. It was my favorite documentary from last year. So it would be cool to see it go to The Perfect Neighbor, but now I need to watch The Alabama Solution, Mr. Nobody Against Putin, Cutting Through the Rocks, and Come See Me in the Good Light. Come See Me in the Good Light, I believe, was produced by Kevin Nealon. When he came on the Conan Needs a Friend podcast, I think last year, he did talk about Come See Me in the Good Light. So now I feel like I have to watch it now. Best animated feature. Now, this is where I'm like, come on. Oh my God, I lost it. There it is. Now, K-pop Demon Hunters, yes, for sure. That's definitely, that's winning. That is winning. So I had K-pop Demon Hunters, Zootopia 2, yes, it was there. Arco, yes. So that's three. And then I did have Little Amelie and the Character of Rain. Or the Character of Rain, my bad. Did have that there. So again, four. Now, I really thought the Academy was going to fucking wake up to themselves. And I don't know if I have too much faith in the Academy or what have you. I really thought they're going to wake up to themselves and finally nominate an anime film. But I really thought it was going to be Demon Slayer, Infinity Castle. I never even thought Chainsaw Man was going to get anywhere near it. But I really thought it was going to be Demon Slayer, Infinity Castle. And no, they fucking went with a safe choice. They went with another Disney film. They went with Elio, which I said on stream, that is not, you know, nominated. But then I guess I underestimate that got the Disney gods. Because I thought Elio was just, no one liked it, I thought. I haven't seen it, so I can't really have a personal opinion on it, but man, it would have been really cool to see Demon Slayer Infinity Castle here. Just one anime example, you know? I mean, I personally would have went with Chainsaw Man Rose Arc, but Demon Slayer Infinity Castle would have been the gate, you know? That would have been the gate to open up to the other anime films that come in the future. But no, Disney comes again with two, with Zootopia 2 and Elio, because it's fucking Disney. But we all know it's going to be K-pop Demon Hunters, so we don't have to fuss too much, because it's going to go the K-pop Demon Hunters. And that's my... I'm going to lock that in actually right now. Pick and prediction, K-pop Demon Hunters, there you go. Best international feature. Here we go, I get to rant again. I don't want to rant, but here we go. It Was Just an Accident, Sentimental Value, Surat, The Secret Agent, and The Voice of Hin Rajab. Now, I got 4 out of 5 here because I put No Other Choice. I really thought No Other Choice was going to get nominated here. I really thought No Other Choice was going to get nominated. Like, come on. At least international feature. Has the Academy seen this film? Like, this is like one of the best films in the last fucking 10 years. Like, I can't. But I'm really happy to see It Was Just an Accident here. I really enjoyed that film. Sentimental Value was always getting in, even though I love that movie. The Secret Agent, I haven't seen yet, but that's currently playing at my indie cinema nearby. So I will go and see that. And then Surat, like I talked about Surat, I do want to see that. But that the Academy loving Surat. Surat garnering quite a few nominations. So the Academy was loving Surat. And then the Voice of Hin Rajab, which is coming out, I think, to that indie cinema I just mentioned before near me. So I will be probably going to a session to check that out just to see what all the fuss is about, because that was getting a lot more chatter right before the nominations came out, because I think it's got its official release. I'm not too sure, but there's just a lot more chatter before the nominations came out this morning. So I think this is a really good category here. Great. So we've got some great movies here. Some movies I've heard are great, but, you know, It Was Just an Accident, really good movie. Sentimental Value, fantastic. And then these other three I've heard really good things about. Can Brazil go 2 for 2? Or 2 in a row, rather? Because I'm Still Here was the one that won last year, and that was from Brazil. And the secret agent is Brazil's pick once again. Wagner Moura, we'll talk about in a little bit, getting nominated in one of the major categories as well. I'm still pretty happy with all of these choices. I still need to see three of them, though. But it's a good mix. It's a good mix. Moving on to score. Where are we? Here we go. Score. 4 out of 5 I got for this one again. Ludwig Göransson for Sinners. Johnny Greenwood for One Battle After Another. So that's my 2. And then I said Max Richter for Hamnet and Alexander Splatt for Frankenstein. I believe I got all of those. No, Hans Zimmer, that's right. No, because that's a no. But I got the Göransson, Greenwood, Richter, and Desplat. 4, and then the one I missed out was Begonia, Joachim Fendrix for Begonia, which I really love that score. I just didn't think it was going to get nominated. I really loved it. It's great to see Joachim here again. And that is my favorite score that he's done in the last few films as well. So that's cool to see. I'm happy with that. I'm happy with this category. It looks pretty good. I hope Johnny Greenwood wins, but it's probably going to go to Ludwig. I'd love to see Johnny take that one, though. And original song. Was that the first one I started with? Fucker. There we go. Cape of Demon Hunters, Golden. Of course, that's here. That's going to win. I Lied to You is here as well. I wouldn't be mad if that wins, but I think it is going to go to Golden. But I would not be mad at all if that if Lied to You win, because that's a beautiful song. From Sinners. Train Dreams from Train Dreams. Now, I went crazy because I was just like, okay, that apparently there's a song from Avatar that should be here. No, that didn't get nominated. And No Place Like Home from Wicked or The Girl in the Bubble from Wicked. Not nominated at all. Yeah, didn't get those. Again, the complete omission from Wicked in music. Nothing here. Nothing here. I can see them perhaps still performing a Wicked song at the Oscars just because of, you know, it's Wicked. But I do think Golden will be performed. And it'd be really cool to see I Lied to You performed, even though they just performed on, I think, Stephen Colbert, I think? Or Jimmy Kimmel? I think it was Jimmy Kimmel. And then, of course, Diane Warren. She came in. I said it on stream. Diane Warren's going to get nominated again because she always does. I don't know what. I don't know the hold she has over the Academy. I'm not kind of, you know, I'm not familiar with the dark magic that she does, the voodoo that she has over the Academy. But here she is, Diane Warren. Dear me, Diane Warren. It's from I think it looks like it's from a documentary of hers, but it seems the gods have been pleased because Diane Warren is once again nominated. What is the deal there, man? Every time this year, I put it as a joke because it always happens. What is the fucking deal? Is she like a composer for the Academy or something? Like, she always gets nominated. I think somebody like... I have a conspiracy theory that is like, there's new members of the Academy that like want to see some more names be nominated. But then there's like the ballot goes in and it's like the final days before the nominations. And then all the like, I guess all of the loyalists to the Academy, they all get together in like a little fucking Illuminati circle and they put in names in the fire. And then like, they all put in like, they all like settle around the circle and they have like Diane Warren like on a sheet of paper. Diane Warren, like all their sheets. And then they go, Diane Warren, Diane Warren, Diane Warren. Like do like a fucking, like a chant, like a ritual. And then they throw it into the fire. And then Diane Warren once again is nominated for an Academy Award for Best Original Song. Oh man, the gods have been pleased. I'll just say that. The gods have been pleased. And Diane Warren is here once again. Moving on to original screenplay. Did I do that? I think I did a little bit of it, and I just mixed up with adapted, and I got really like just confused. I don't know why. I just confusing day, I guess. So original screenplay. We have Sinners from Ryan Coogler. Marty Supreme from, I think it's Ronald Bronstein, or is that that's producing? I think that's producing. It was just an accident. Blue Moon, Sentimental Value for original screenplay. And I had 4 out of 5. I really thought it was just an accident was going to get in. Cause I was like, if that doesn't get picture, it's at least going to get screenplay. And it did. So I had 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 out of the 5 there. And what was the one I missed out on? Blue Moon. Yeah, haven't seen Blue Moon yet. Didn't think about Blue Moon getting in, but there you go. Blue Moon getting in there with our original screenplay. Best Adapted, which again, I didn't do. But One Battle After Another, Train Dreams, Hamnet, Frankenstein, Begonia. I think this is going to go to One Battle After Another. And that would be also my pick. There you go. Boom. Best Director, Paul Thomas Anderson for One Battle After Another. Sinners, Ryan Coogler. I don't know why I said it like that. But Josh Safdie for Mighty Supreme, Joachim Trier for Sentimental Value, and Chloe Zhao for Hamnet. I think I got 4 out of 5 for that one too. Paul Thomas Anderson, Chloe Zhao, Ryan Coogler, Joachim Trier. And then, okay, so my outlier, I said Jafar Panahi for It Was Just an Accident because I just thought they're going to throw him some love. And not to like fully discredit that film, he did a fantastic job directing that. And I talked about the passion that he put into that when we talked about it on stream. But instead threw it to Josh Safdie for Mighty Supreme. You guys know, if you can't tell, where the fuck is Park Chan-wook for No Other Choice? It wasn't going to happen, but I just wish it did. Would have loved to see him here instead of... Oh, man. Instead of Joachim Trier. I've seen Sentimental Value, but my favorite part is not the direction. It's the screenplay. It's the performances, which I guess does come from direction. But the way... I've talked about No Other Choice in the podcast before, but you know how I feel about that film. That all comes from the choices that that Park Chan-wook makes throughout the runtime of that film. So, yeah, I still think this is going to go to Paul Thomas Anderson, though, and that's going to be amazing because he has never won. He has never won and any awards. So if One Battle After Another gets anything on that night, so good. Love that. But I really would love it to go to Paul Thomas Anderson because that would be that would be so great to see. Really great to see. I could see it probably going to Ryan Coogler as well. Wouldn't be mad about that either. It's a great movie. But I feel it in my heart of hearts that it's going to go to Paul Thomas Anderson for One Battle After Another. Moving on to supporting actor. Meow. Sean Penn for One Battle After Another. Yes, I got that one. Stellan Skarsgård for Sentimental Value. I did get that one too. Jacob Elordi for Frankenstein. So I ended up getting 3 out of 5. I said Adam Sandler and Paul Mescal. No, they missed out. This instead went to Delroy Lindo and Benicio Del Toro. He got in for One Battle After Another, which, great performance. And then Delroy Lindo, which I really enjoyed from Sinners. I just didn't think he was going to get in. He got in, Delroy Lindo. For Sinners. So that's really cool to see. I think this is going to Stellan. Stellan was my favorite supporting performance from last year. So as much as I talked in a lot of stuff about Sean Penn being the best, I do actually think about Stellan's performance more. So I think this is good to Stellan. And after that Golden Globes win, even though it's not, it's not... always the telegraph to the Oscars, I think that would have given me a bit of a push. I haven't checked Gold Derby yet, but that would have given me a bit of a push, I think. At the end of the day, Oscars is also like a vanity fucking night. It's a popularity contest. So, I could see it going to Stellan Skarsgård, honestly. And that'd be really cool to see because that's a great performance. Really love that performance. Supporting actress... Tiana Taylor for One Battle After Another. There's the favorite. Elle Fanning for Sentimental Value, which I had as well. So that's 2. And then I had Inga Itzpodota Lilias for Sentimental Value. And those are my 3. So I got 3 out of 5. I missed out on Amy Madigan. And then Wunmi Masaku coming in for Sinners there. Which is, again, cool to see. I just didn't think it was going to happen. I suppose the popularity shot up after the Globes, or maybe some things changed in the chatter in the circles. But I had Ariana Grande for Wicked again, but then Wicked not getting anything. So I'm not surprised in hindsight that Ariana Grande didn't get nominated then. But then I said Emily Blunt for Smashing Machine, and I think I was just way off the mark there. I just didn't think Amy Madigan was getting in for Weapons. That's a good performance. But I honestly could think of more performances that were better than that from last year. I still think this is going to go to Teyana Taylor. We'll talk about that closer to the ceremony. Cool to see Elle Fanning there too, because she's great in sentimental value. And so is Inga. Actress, Jessie Buckley for Hamnet. Rose Byrne, If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You. Renate Rensfer? Bro, I'm sorry, Renate. I'm gonna butcher that name every single fucking time, dude. Rensfer? Damn it. So I had one, two, and then I had I didn't say Kate Hudson, did I? No, I didn't. But I did have Jessie Buckley, I did have Rose Byrne, I did have Emma Stone, and I did have Renate. So I had four out of the five there. I had Chase Infinity getting in for one battle after another, but no, that went to Kate Hudson for Song Sung Blue, from, you know, Song Sung Blue. So that was kind of be like the dark horse kind of steal that everyone was like, okay, I think Kate slides in here. And yeah, she did. She slid in. I think, was she nominated for, I think, comedy, like Best Actress in a Comedy Musical? I'm pretty sure she was. So that's just pulling over from that, I think. And then perhaps the performance is good. I have not seen Song Sung Blue. I just haven't had the interest in it. So maybe I'll have to check it out before. My nan loves it. She wants me to watch it. So maybe I'll have to fulfill Nan's wishes and check it out. Moving on to actor. Best actor. So I think for this one, I got four out of the five. I said Leo for One Battle After Another, Timmy for Mighty Supreme, Michael B. Jordan for Sinners, and then I said Wagner for The Secret Agent. So I got the four there, and the one I didn't get was Ethan Hawke for Blue Moon. Which that's cool to see. Again, I've got to watch Blue Moon. I love Ethan Hawke. But this is going to go right now, the chatter. Like, if you asked me, like, perhaps in September or October, I would have said, Leo, it's Leo. But the chatter at the moment is Timmy. Is Timothy Chalamet for Mighty Supreme. So, again, I think it's his time. It's his time. He's been nominated so many times. It's like this is his destiny. He's talked about this. The marketing for Mighty Supreme has been insane. The chatter afterwards, the word of mouth has been insane for Mighty Supreme. So, I think this could be Timmy's year, and this could definitely go to Timothy Chalamet. And then moving on finally to Best Picture. Now, what do I have for here? I think I got like 8 out of 10. So, we've got Begonia, Frankenstein, F1, Hamnet, Mighty Supreme, One Battle After Another, The Secret Agent, Sentimental Value, Sinners, Train Dreams. So I had One Battle After Another, I had Mighty Supreme, I had Sinners, I had Sentimental Value, I had Hamnet, I had The Secret Agent, and I had Frankenstein and F1. So those are my eight. I think I said Hamnet. Now, it was just an accident here, because I really thought they're going to give it that love, particularly because it did win the Palme d'Or last year at the Cannes Film Festival. So I really thought it was just going to chuck it its way. And again, not say it's not a great film or anything, but I just really thought they're going to do that just because of that fact alone. And Jafar Panahi is a hot button topic surrounding that film. And then, of course, I had no other choice here as well, because come on, like, it's one of the best movies of last year. But the Academy, no Park Chan-wook, the Academy says. No Park Chan-wook. Let's get him out of here. We don't want him. Even though he's one of the best directors living today, best filmmakers ever. No, thank you. And then I had Avatar, Fire and Ash, and wow, nothing. Okay, that actually did surprise me. No Avatar, Fire and Ash for Best Picture. That actually did surprise me. But I still see this going to One Battle After Another. I also want to say, for people that weren't guessing F1, come on now. Did you see F1? That was always going to get Best Picture nomination. But snark over. One Battle After Another, I think, is still going to take it. But then, like, I don't know, man. People talk in my ear. People get to me. And they say Sinners. They say it could be Sinners. I would not be mad if Sinners gets it. And it'd be really, really cool to see Coogler and the rest of the cast and the producers on that stage, everyone that worked on that film up on that stage, especially after its record 16 nominations to get Best Picture. That would be amazing to see. But in my heart of hearts, it's one battle after another. I think that movie has a lot to say about what's going on right now in the world. Things are happening from that film that it's like art. It's like life imitating art. Like it's art imitating life, and now it's life imitating art. So I just really think that's the most prescient film right now in that category. And I see the Academy going swinging that way. So my personal pick would be to spoil everything. My personal pick would be One Battle After Another for that one. And that's it. Those are the nominations for the 98th. Holy fuck. 98th Academy Awards. Now, like I said, I believe they're on March 15th. Yes, they are. 16th here, if you're in Australia, that once again will be hosted again by comedian and amazing man, human inspiration, Conan O'Brien. I love Conan, bro. I love him. If you don't listen to Conan O'Brien, he's a friend. Like, you have to listen to that podcast. It is so good. I think it's better than the late night show, to be honest. Because he actually gets to actually talk to the guests and have a conversation with them. And you get to listen to just all the Kevin Nealon ones because they are fantastic. So once again, we'll be hosted by Conan. And hopefully we'll have a good time. Hopefully we'll have some good performances. Good luck to Sinners with those 16 nominations. Good luck to One Battle After Another. I hope Paul Thomas Anderson One Battle After Another takes that directing nod and gets that directing win. I mostly hope One Battle After Another takes that directing win because I think Paul, this is a long time coming. Paul deserves that. You know, he had it. He made There Will Be Blood, and then fucking No Country for Old Men came out the same year. And they're like, yeah, but No Country for Old Men exists, Paul. I'm sorry. But we know you just made like your magnum opus, your masterpiece, but No Country for Old Men. So I just don't think, yes, Sinners is kind of, it's there, but it's not a No Country for Old Men. One Battle After Another. Let's go. Anyway, those are it. Those are the nominations. That's my thoughts on those. Let's move on to the film we're going to talk about on this podcast. And guys, that is, now I said it was going to be Mighty Supreme, but plans changed. And I actually ended up watching this movie last week. And Mighty Supreme actually came out yesterday here in Australia. I'll probably see that next week, and that might be talked about on a future podcast, but we're going to talk about 28 years later, The Bone Temple, because I was very excited for this movie. I loved 28 Years Later last year. That was one of my favorite movies. I believe that made my honorable mentions from last year, and I was really, really looking forward to the continuation of this trilogy. Even though we had a different director this time with Nia DaCosta, but I have enjoyed her work before and I trusted what she was going to do and carry on that vision that Danny Boyle laid down with that first movie. And I'm happy to say that is exactly what happened. This movie is fucking awesome. There's no way to describe it. It is fucking awesome. I love this trilogy, man. I love this trilogy, and we have been greenlit for the third film, so I can say it. This trilogy is, I think, one of the most fascinating trilogies going on right now. If you are not like locked in, if you are not in the know about the fucking 28 Years Later trilogy going on right now, get yourself in it. Get a chair, find where it's like, streaming, or you know, if you can pick up the physical release. And watch 28 Years Later, because that is a great movie. My mate, I told him about it last week, because I went and saw The Bone Temple. I told him about it last week, and he just went, I'll watch it today. And then he watched it. He actually did watch it. So shout out Scooby, because I can't wait for him to watch The Bone Temple. We can talk about it more. But I'd like to talk to you about The Bone Temple, if that is okay. Okay. 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple is directed by Nia DaCosta. It's once again written by Alice Garland. It stars Ralph Fiennes. It stars, once again, Alfie... Oh, fuck, what's his name? I know his first name, dude. Alfie Williams, that's it. who was fantastic in 28 Years Later. But this time around, we are joined by Jack O'Connell, the vampire man from Sinners. And he did appear at the end of 28 Years Later. And if you were, if you're thinking like that was just a kind of like a one-off thing at the end of that movie, like that was just a weird ending. No. The Jimmys are here to stay, and Jack O'Connor plays the leader, Jimmy Crystal, Sir Jimmy Crystal, I believe. Sir Lord Jimmy Crystal. Yeah, that gets further explored in this movie to really great detail. But we're also joined this time by a little bit more focus on Chi Lewis Parry, who is Samson, and there's a lot more going on with him. And then Aaron Kellyman, who I last saw in Captain America, The Winter Soldier, that show. And she is playing one of the Jimmys here. So yeah, 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple is, like I said, a continuation from 28 Years Later. It's directed by Nia DaCosta, so it has a different visual style this time around. I am just going to say off the top, I just prefer Daniel Boyle's much more artistic style. The iPhone cinematography was just kind of revolutionary in that first movie. I was just so excited about that cinematography. But I think The Bone Temple has a lot more to say, and we'll get into that. So what I really enjoyed from that first movie was the themes of the philosophy of this apocalypse, the grief, the exploration of certain grief, but mostly the philosophy of the apocalypse thanks to Ralph Fiennes' character, Kelson, Dr. Kelson. And I am so happy to say that that is explored even further in this movie. They really dive into that. I particularly enjoyed that notion of like, is this infection merely just an infection? Can it be cured? Is it something different? Can you bring back memories, for example, to a vessel, I guess, because they're no longer a human, but to a vessel. To make them reflect or anything like that. And I don't want to spoil what actually happens between Kelson and Samson, but I that's the best part of this movie is Kelson and Samson, and I really, really enjoyed it. Now, I did also mention the Jimmys because they are fucking present here. That end is not a fluke. That end of the first one is not a fluke. We are open with the Jimmys, actually, and we get to see just exactly how sadistic, how evil, and how, I guess, misguided they are by Sir Lord Jimmy Crystal, played by Jack O'Connell. And he is fantastic in this movie as this character. He's so deliciously evil, but also I love the way he plays such a delusional, like, cult leader. It's a cult, right? It's pretty much a cult. So, but he believes he is the son of Satan. There's a wonderful scene between his character and Ralph Fiennes' character, Dr. Kelson, that talks about the beliefs that he has. And he kind of breaks down that facade. And without spoiling too much, I think that's a wonderful, wonderful two-hander. And that was one of my favorite parts of the film. Everything surrounding that, you've got a lot more world-building going on, but it simultaneously still manages not to get so bogged down in that and just focus on those themes, because it's much more interested in exploring itself thematically. If you saw the end of 28 Years Later and you thought it was going to be like, you hear Bone Temple, you're like, oh, this is going to be like an action movie. This is going to be sick. I mean, I myself didn't have those expectations, because I thought it was actually going to be a lot more spiritual. I would say sorry to those people looking for more action, because while there is some pretty downright gruesome scenes in 28 Years Later, like that, especially what the Jimmys inflict on people, and you saw a taste of that in 28 Years Later, but the violence they inflict on people in this film is just downright evil. It's evil. But other than that, it's not really focused on that. It wants to just talk about the themes of the apocalypse, especially the philosophy of surrounding this apocalypse. And that's what I love so much about Garland's script and his direction. It's kind of his and Danny Boyle's direction, but I just love the themes that Garland is exploring with these two movies, and hopefully with this third one. But I will say, just to quickly point out, as much as I enjoyed everything in this film and all the sequences and everything it had to say, it does feel like set up for the next one. It does feel like they are planning this before the third one, especially that ending, which I loved. I loved it. The whole theater loved it. And it feels like a great reward. But I also was like, surely that's going to happen. And it did. but it does feel like setup. It does feel like setup for the next one. But that's just, there are sequences in this movie that you, and don't get me wrong, as much as I'm saying it's set up, there are still some amazing sequences in this movie. There is a sequence in this movie that you have to see on the big screen. It was giving Sinners, I Lied to You scene. And I'm just going to leave it at that. It involves Ralph Fiennes. It involves some rock music. It's fucking awesome. It's nothing short of fucking awesome. And that's how I felt during the majority of 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple. I really, really, really enjoyed this movie. I cannot wait to see where this trilogy goes. I cannot wait to see how it ends. We have Boyle back directing the third one. So I'm quite keen to see where it lands, where it ends up. I'm really excited. I think this is one of the most, like I said at the top, I think this is one of the most fascinating trilogies we have right now. And if you are not in the know, if you are not watching it, just do yourself a favor, man. I think this is actually exploring themes I have never seen explored with the apocalypse. Like, you think it's all done. You think it's all done with zombies. But Garland finds new ways to mine new philosophical ideas and present them to you in a very thoughtful way, in a very spiritual way as well. And I've just never seen that in a zombie movie. It's really exciting and really cool to say that I haven't seen that in a zombie film before, and that we are getting that in 2026. And for a film that was dumped, you know, quote-unquote dumped in January, because as we know, if you love movies, if you've been following them for a long time, you know that January is the month where a lot of studios will just put their movies that they don't think it's going to do well. Now, 28 years later, The Bone Temple did. Now, this movie did, unfortunately, underperform. So I really hope we get the third one. But unfortunately it did underperform. So, and that is, I think, just because of it's the month it's been put in. Because this deserves a different month. Like, I think 28 Years Later was released in August last year. And I thought that was a pretty decent month, and then it made some good money. So, to actually put this in January, I think it was a major disservice to it. So yeah, 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple. I really enjoyed it. I, like many people that saw this movie, cannot wait to see where this trilogy goes. Right now, let's move on to what I've been watching. And I checked out that new Netflix movie with Matt Damon and Ben Affleck called The Rip. This is directed by Joe Carnahan. I don't love Carnahan's films. I do find them every time to be kind of just like good and fine. He always makes a pretty decent crime thriller, but nothing that really like has anything new to say or rips you from your seat or anything like that. Or it at least gets you excited and entertained and doesn't waste your time. And that is exactly what The Rip is. However, I do think this is my favorite of Joe Carnahan's. It's either this or Smoking Aces. I just love the cheesiness and the carp campiness of Smoking Aces. But I do think this is his best one. The premise alone is very interesting. It's about a group of cops that that work for, I think it's the Miami PD. They hear about a big sum of cash that is in this house. And it's said to be like $150,000 or something like that. Ends up being something over like $20 million. It's a very big stack of cash. And then it becomes like a whodunit kind of mind games kind of, do these people trust each other? These detectives that he's known each other for a long time, do they actually trust each other? What can this money bring? what does it bring out of these people? This big sum of cash. What does it bring out of these people? What does it cause them to do? And I think for the majority of its runtime, it did keep me hooked. And I was excited to see where it went. It also looks really nice for a Netflix release. I really liked the lighting. I loved the shots and the performances. I forgot to mention the performances because the actors here, like Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Steven Yeun, Tiana Taylor, Kyle Chandler, a great cast here to boost what is pretty good material, but makes it into good material. It's a good bonus, good cherry on top to have these talented actors be able to do that. But I think my only issue with it, because I found it constantly through the dialogue and also constantly through the editing and the repetitive relaying of plot details that happens a lot in these Netflix movies. This was like recently highlighted by Matt Damon that Netflix does this a lot. Their execs ask filmmakers to put in stuff into the plot, into the writing that constantly relays the plot. And I'm certainly just not a fan of that. I think that's just poor writing. But I'm not going to chalk that up to Carnahan and his co-writer. I'm going to chalk that up to Netflix's involvement because that's just... unfortunately, this is the time we live in. We live in a time where people's attention spans are shrinking by the fucking day. And they're going to be on their phone watching this movie. And every time I had like showed like a flashback to like, oh, this just happened. And I was like, bro, that was like 15 minutes ago. We didn't need to see that again. Like I am watching the movie, but this is catering to the people that are second screening this film. So yeah, that stuff, I just have it's a nitpick because it's going to be present in a lot of these Netflix releases. So that was probably my only nitpick with the movie. I think it was a good and fine crime thriller. Tense time, decent performances, and I think probably the best thing to watch on Netflix this month. So that was The Rip. And then my housemates and I last night, we watched Bruce Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere. This is the Bruce Springsteen biopic based on the novel Deliver Me From Nowhere, starring Jeremy Allen White as Bruce Springsteen, Jeremy Strong as his producer, I believe producer and manager, John Landau. Friend, you could say as well. Friend, really friend. You could feel that in the movie. This as well was also just another good and fine movie. We all kind of had the same opinion when the credits rolled. We're kind of just like, that was fine. Like that was nothing special. I think Jeremy Allen White gives a great performance. I think Jeremy Strong gives a great performance. The Jeremy's on fire. Stephen Graham's on fire. He's giving a great performance too as Bruce Springsteen's father. But my major problem with the film is that I think it's stuck between wanting to be one of those kind of in the moment, in the room music biopics, like focusing on one aspect of a person's life, something that A Complete Unknown did last year. But it is also trying to be like, because it's just focusing on the creation of Nebraska, just to relay the plot to you, that it's focusing on the creation of Nebraska, which was Springsteen's album before Born in the USA, which was released in 1982. Nebraska, not Born in the USA. So it is trying to be one of those like, okay, this is the moment of Bruce's life that we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on the creation of this album. But I also do think it has the aspects, while it doesn't follow the complete structure of those formulaic biopics with that familiar structure of like, okay, they do this, then they have the big concert, and they do this, and then they resolve all this in the end, and it's all happy, la la la. I think of Bohemian Rhapsody straight away. I think of something like that. It is not like that, but it also is kind of like that. There's like this depression subplot that happens about from the second to the third act that is quickly resolved. And that I was just like, we just didn't need that. There's also the love interest, Faye. I just didn't think we needed that as well. I think that decision that Bruce makes towards the end, even though this is a fucking biopic, so this could be a part of the book. This could be just part of adaptation. But I think that decision that Bruce makes towards the end about, you know, not running from himself anymore, not running from his problems, that could have been helped more from, or that scene could have been said by John instead of Faye. And then you could have just completely cut Faye from the film. I just didn't think Faye was that much of a salient aspect in the movie. I think just focus on Bruce and the making of this album and his relationship with John. So I think because it's doing that, it's doing both of those things, it's getting lost and becomes, you know, there's this this phrase is getting chucked around a lot, but I really like it. Sourceless. It's a sourceless biopic because it's trying to do those two things at once. So it ends up becoming quite a dull adaptation and story, it sucks to say, but it does. You know, it's cool to see, to hear the songs. It's cool to hear Born in the USA. Jeremy Allen White actually sings and sounds good, but everything that is around that, that surrounds the good parts, are quite dull and boring. So, yeah, sorry to report on that. I will say, though, this color grade is fucking beautiful. I want to get the colorist up. Hang on, give me a sec. I got to shout out this colorist. Okay, first of all, Masanobu Takenagi, their cinematography, beautiful, great shots. But dude, I want to bring up the colorist because that color grade was just fucking beautiful. It was a beautiful color grade. Great use of like shadows, great use of just saturation, like really nice saturation. And it just looked really nice. It looked really pleasing on the eye. And it wasn't in that crowd-pleasy way. It was just really nice to look at. I just love those color kind of color grades. So yeah, I will just shout out the color grade. You know what? I'm going the extra mile. I'm going to go on IMDb and find this fucking. I'm finding the colorist, guys. I'm finding the colorist because I want to shout out their name, and I hope they get more. Come on, bro. Where the fuck is the crew? Where's the crew? Here we go. Color department. Here we go. Okay, shout out color department. Ben Corrali. Tom Poole and Dustin Wadsworth. Ben Corrali is the assistant colorist. The main colorist is Tom Poole. And the additional colorist is Dustin Wadsworth. Shout out colorist department. Shout out the color department for that grade. Beautiful. Beautiful grade. Beautiful grade. It reminded me of the grade that my cinematographer for my short film wanted. And it's just a really nice grade. Anyway, enough about the grade, Kyle. Shut up about the grade. What else have I been watching? That is a good question. I have been watching The Pit, season 2. It's fucking awesome. There's nothing more to say about it. It's The Pit. It's The Pit, guys. Just get on it. Get on it and watch it. It's so good. I particularly love the latest episode. Now, there's a new one out today, which I haven't seen yet, but I particularly loved last week's episode because that was a really funny thing. But also quite interesting. I was like, I've never seen this before. So that was interesting to see. And you'll know, it was stiff. I'll say that. It was stiff. And you'll know what I mean when I say stiff. I'm also watching Pluribus on my episode 3 of Pluribus. I'm just taking that really slow because I think that show just deserves its marination, if that makes any sense. Is that even a fucking word? I don't know. But it deserves that thoughtfulness. So I don't really want to rush through Pluribus. I'm having a great time with Pluribus. And then I'm watching Happy Endings. I'm getting onto Happy Endings, which is this comedy show from David Casp. It stars like Adam Parley. It's got Dan Wayans Jr. in it as well. Elisha Cuthbert. And really, really funny show. One of those sitcoms that came out the same time as like New Girl, How I Met Your Mother. But I only got like 3 seasons. But it's a really, really funny show. Really enjoying it so far. I'm on season 2 of that. And then anime-wise, hello, anime. I'm watching Jujutsu Kaisen season 3, aka The Calling Game Part 1. I am up to date on that. I'm not going to lie. I was very confused when that started. I was like, okay, I've seen the Shibuya arc, but I've also, like, it has been a long time since I've seen Zero. And I just want to say, if you are getting into season 3, you need to rewatch Zero. At least watch a recap, but you need to rewatch Zero because it has a lot to do with that film. And especially one of the main characters from that movie is in season 3 of Jujutsu Kaisen. So far, it's been great build up. I really liked the fights in the first episode. And then, you know, episode three wasn't really that exciting. It was a lot of exposition. So, but I guess you need to know all that stuff before the Colin game actually starts. So, yeah, but I will say you need to watch a recap of like season two and zero before you watch season three. Really, really. I went back and watched a recap, then went back and watched it again. And I think that was really helpful. I'm also watching Fire Force season three, part two. I'm on episode three of that one as well. I believe that came out today. So I'll have to watch that one. I loved part one. I loved how it ended. That was insane. That was a fucking mind fuck. And then Shinra waking up and like what's happening with him at the moment. I'm like, what the fuck? What is going on? And I'm watching Nosha. I'm on episode 11 of Nosha. I think there's supposed to be 13 episodes coming out for that one. Actually, no, I think there's actually supposed to be way more coming out for that. So I'm up to that. And I wanted to start Frieren season two, but I just haven't got around to it yet. So I'll probably check out the first two episodes because there should be another one out at the moment. I'll check out the first episodes of season two of Frieren. Excuse me. Season two of Frieren Beyond Journey's End. We're only going to get 13 episodes. Or no, I think it's 10 actually. 10 episodes with season two of Frieren as opposed to the 28 episodes we got last season. Which I believe is, I think, is a manga, not issue, just manga thing. Like there's not enough to adapt yet, I think. I could be wrong there. That's just what I've heard from people. My Hero, I'm still going for that last season. And that's about it. That's all I've been watching. Want to get onto watching Twin Peaks next month because my mate wants to go see Fire Walk with me at the cinema nearby and because they're showing that. But I haven't seen Twin Peaks. So in February, I'm looking forward to watching Twin Peaks and getting my brain all up in that. The cinema's also doing like a David Lynch retrospective as well. So I think I want to go see Blue Velvet. Are they playing? No, I think it's just Blue Velvet and then Fire Walk with Me. They did a race ahead like last night, but I missed out on that. But yeah, I want to go check all those movies out and dive into a bit of Lynch in February. I think that's going to be really, really fun. But guys, that's going to do it. Thank you so much for listening. Yeah, check out the show notes. That will be in the description if you want to reach me anywhere. What do you think of those Oscar nominations? Have you seen The Rip? Have you seen the Springsteen movie? Go watch Bone Temple. That's what I'll say. Go watch Bone Temple. It needs that money. We want that third movie. Please go watch Bone Temple. It is fucking sick. I'm going to go watch more Pit. Take care. Have a wonderful week. And I will speak to you next time.